if you've ever been to my brother's house, it is an amazing home. And I was texting him this morning and just making sure that I can talk about his house. Mark has one of those houses that you can actually play ball in the house and not get in trouble. Mark has a basketball gym in his home. They built it in his part of the home. And it's cool. But I remember the first time I went to go see the house, and he took me out there. He was all excited about it, and I went out to see it. And it was a hole with some wood over the top of it, and then a few like studded walls. I mean, there was no plumbing, there was no electricity, there was no roof, nothing like that. And I looked at my brother, and I'm going, oh my goodness, this home is a disaster. You do realize that it is going to get mighty, mighty cold outside. And, you know, indoor plumbing has been a thing for a while. And, you know, I know you've got some woods in the back, but that's going to get old real quick, you know. And electricity, I mean, come on. Your house has none of these things. Well, of course, I didn't say that to him because the house was being built. I mean, it was the incomplete version. I mean, he wasn't worried about it. I wasn't worried about it. And even though he was proud of this home, he wanted to show me the house, it was far from being done. But yet there was no worries. There was no fret. There was no like, oh, we're going to stock up on blankets because it's going to get really cold. And look at this. We don't even have a roof on our home yet. And, you know, we're getting some wood. We're going to have to burn some of this stuff because, you know, we don't have electricity or any heat. No, they knew it wasn't finished yet, but they were working on it. And the process happened that day by day, the plans were being completed. Work was being done. Things were happening. And eventually the house was completed. And I want to give you the 2 points right up front. Because it's true in anything that you've ever built, if you've built a home, these are true in home building, but it's also true in our life. And the first point is this, is that success or failure isn't determined in the middle, but the end. You don't go to somebody that's halfway built a house and you go, this house is a disaster. You don't go to a woman that's 5 months pregnant and go, oh my goodness, what is wrong with you? How come you haven't had the child yet? Don't you want this child? Come on. You're like, trust me, it's an easy way to lose your life. You don't want to do that, okay? All right, it's not, okay? You don't do it that way, okay? You know, success or failure isn't determined in the middle, but the end. And we realize that. We understand that. The second thing is this. The way to deal with incompleteness isn't a matter of getting comfortable with it, but working towards making it complete. Okay, my brother didn't go, well, you know, we're just going to get used to this. You know, this is all the farther we got. And, you know, we have, you know, a couple stud walls there. And this is where we're at. We're happy with it. And we're just going to have to deal with it. No, you work toward completeness. You work toward finishing it. It's not finished yet, but we're working on it. We're working on it. So with that in mind, let me just say this to you. You're not finished yet. You're not finished yet. Some of you are the equivalent of a house with no plumbing. With no electricity. For some of you, there are areas in your life where basically you're just a hole in the ground right now. There's nothing showing. It's far from completed. It's far from over. But there's important things missing in your life. There's a future. There is more. There's work to be done. You are not what God had in mind when He created you. And that's a good thing. Because you still have some work to get done. Turn to somebody and tell them, you still need to have some work done. There is more to you than what you are. You were made to be a better spouse than what you are right now. You were made to be a better parent than what you've been. God has given you talents and abilities, and you haven't used them to the fullest yet. You were called to make a bigger difference than you've made. God has a role for you. Maybe it's a teacher or a mentor or an encourager. There's something more for you that God has for you. You're not finished yet. And that's good news to some of you, because some of you are frustrated at where you're at, that you've looked in the mirror and it's like, surely there's got to be more. And what God is saying today is, yes, there's more. There's more. You're not finished yet. And for some of you, that's great news to your spouse, because your spouses are frustrated with you. Lord, please, please tell me this isn't it. Please tell me there's more. They can do a better job. They can step up. Absolutely. It's hope. There's hope. God is saying there is more to you. When you look at your life and you say, oh, I wish I had more faith. Oh, I wish I had more influence. I wish I had more wisdom. God is saying, I have more for you. You're not finished yet. There's still more coming. There's more to do. There's more work to be done. Some of you might look at your life and say, oh, I wish I could stand up to temptation better. It just seems like I get blown over again and again. Or I wish God would use my talents or abilities. Whatever it is, if you've ever looked at yourself in the mirror and felt like you didn't measure up, but yet there was a desire in you to be better than you were, there is hope for you this morning. God is saying, I've put in you more than what you've experienced yet. There is a better you. There is more there. There is a greater you. You have greater potential. There's a greater calling ahead. God has something more for you to do. You're not finished yet. Your best days are ahead of you. And God is reminding you, don't judge where you're at right now because you're in the middle. Don't say, well, I'm a failure because I haven't completed anything. I'm a failure. I haven't really impacted anything. I'm a failure because I haven't really finished what all that I felt that I'm capable of doing. You're not finished yet. There's more to come. Don't give up. Don't give in. God isn't finished with you yet. And we use that truth that don't measure success in the middle. You're not finished yet. There's more to come. Turn to somebody and tell them there's more to you than what you know. Now, on the flip side, this for some is a bit unnerving because some of you have tried to deal with that incompleteness by just getting comfortable with it. Just, well, this is all that there is. I'm just going to just be the way that I am. My home life isn't the best, but I'll just get used to it. My relationship with God isn't the strongest, but I'm just going to get used to it. I know I've got gifts and talents and resources that could make a big difference, but I've just gotten comfortable to not using them to make a difference. I've just gotten comfortable without seeing the results of what God could do in and through my life. I'm just comfortable with where I'm at. I know I've not taken that step of faith, or I've not been baptized, or I've not received the Holy Ghost, or I've not renewed that passion in my heart for my walk with God. I've just gotten comfortable with where I'm at. I know I could do more, but I'm okay with where I'm at. And God is reminding you that the way to deal with incompleteness isn't getting comfortable with it. It's about working towards making it complete. You're a building. God is building something in you. You are a work in progress. We don't stop halfway. If you were building a house, you wouldn't stop halfway through. If you're making food, if you're making dinner today, and you put dinner and you got it in the pan and you heat it up, and then you just walk away and say, that's all there is. No, you're going to finish it. You're going to finish it. You don't leave it in the pan and let it burn and say, well, this is a disaster. No, you work toward completing it. You are a work in progress. It's not a matter of getting comfortable with where you're at. We're not measuring success at where we're at. There's more, but nor do we find ourselves just saying, I'm okay with where I'm at. We work toward making it complete. You're not finished yet. It's not time to give up. It's time to get going. It's time to keep moving. Turn to somebody and tell them, I'm not finished yet. You're helping me preach this morning. Now, if anyone had the proper perspective in Scripture, it was this guy named Paul. And if there was anyone that could say, I've done a whole lot, it would be Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament and that we're reading through. He had mission trips throughout the known world. He started churches. He mentored people. He was persecuted and thrown in jail for what he believed. Yet he just got up and kept going. He did incredible, incredible things in this incredible life. And if anybody could say, hey, I have checked all the boxes, I'm good with where I'm at, it would be Paul. If anyone could say, hey, I've done so much that I feel very comfortable just sitting back now and saying, hey, look at all I've done. look at everything I've accomplished. I'm comfortable with where I'm at. But yet we find even in this type A person that just goes, look at what he says in Scripture. Reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. And here Paul's saying, he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have arrived at my goal. And he says, look at all I've done and I'm not finished yet. And Paul is teaching us that completion is not based on our accomplishments. There's something more going on. It's something else. It's easy to settle down and get comfortable when we have a lot to point to. It's easy to sit down and get comfortable when we say, well, look at all I've done and look at all I've accomplished. And Paul's saying, no, you've missed it. You don't understand it. There's more. But look at what he says. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me, saying that God is working in me. He has more for me. He goes on. Look at what he says. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. I'm not there yet. I'm not finished yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind, meaning I've already accomplished that. I can't use that to rest upon. I can't use that to just get comfortable with. And straining or pushing toward what is ahead. And it comes to a verse that many of you know and maybe can quote. But I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He says, look, God has created even more for me. And even though I have done so much, I can't rest upon that. I am pushing, I am straining, I am moving forward to the ultimate goal that God has called me to do. And so we see in this passage these action words, this straining toward and press on. And what Paul is saying here, the definition, the principle behind this, he's telling us to press on. Turn to somebody and tell them, press on. And I'm not talking about the fake nails either. You remember the press-on nails? That's not what he's talking about. But press on. Here's what he means. Here's the principle behind it. To press on is to apply pressure to what is to make it more like what it should be. When Paul is saying to press on, he's saying, take where you're at, whatever that is. And don't say I'm a failure and don't say you're done. But wherever you're at, to press on is to apply pressure, to apply energy, to apply that momentum to what is to make it more like what it should be. He says, look, you're dealing with incompleteness in something and you're being comfortable with it. You can't be comfortable. It's time to start making it complete. Keep working on it. Keep pressing on, whether it be in your home, whether it be at work, whether it be in your relationships, whether it be in your relationship with God, whatever it is, God has called you to more. And Paul is saying, keep pressing on. So let me ask you this question. What does press on look like in your life? When we take this and make it personal, what does that mean to you? If Paul were to be up here and he says, hey, God has something more for you, you need to press on. You need to take what is and work on making it more as it should be. What does that look in your life? Where are there areas where you need to press on? Areas where maybe you've gotten comfortable in. Areas where you've maybe given up on. Areas where you said, well, you know, I've already done a lot here. I'm just going to sit back and not worry about it. Or, yeah, I know it's not finished, but I'm okay with where I'm at. What does press on mean in your life? Maybe it's your home life. Maybe there's situations at home. And you just kind of said, it's the way it's going to be. It's the way that it is. God is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. What can you do? What can you begin? What can you start? What can you stop? What conversations can you have? What new things can you bring into that home to start bringing God back in, to start bringing peace back in, to start bringing healing back in? What does press on look like in your life? Maybe you need to press up against your cool image. Maybe you become comfortable with just kind of sitting back and saying, ah, I'm okay. When God is saying, hey, why don't you press on and allow me to change your life? press on and maybe begin to talk to me. Press on and begin to begin to pray again. Begin to read your Bible again. To begin to allow God to speak. Press on and begin to do what God has called you to do. What does press on look like in your life? Whether it's your time, your resources, your finances, your talents, your abilities, relationships. Where have you gotten comfortable with it? And yet you know it needs to be better. And God is reminding us today, hey, don't give up. There's more. Keep pressing on. Pressing on is applying pressure to what is to make it more like it should be. In fact, pull that last slide up again. Let's just say this again. Can we? Can we say this together? Press on is to apply pressure to what is and make it more like what it should be. Now, you're going to be very, very wise, and I want you to tell this to the person sitting next to you. As you know, here, very wise person said, let me just tell you what you need to do, all right? And then tell them this, all right? So some of you have been wanting all day to tell that person sitting next to you what they need to do, but we're going to narrow it down to this. So can't just look at them and tell them, hey, you need to press on, which means you got to go apply pressure to what is to make it what it should be. All right? Now, return the favor. Say it back to them. Tell them, well, you need to go and work on what is and make it what it should be. And some of you may even have a few suggestions of those areas that is. But understand this. Don't let it get you down. Some of the people look at where your life is like, oh, I'm such a failure. No, you're not. You're just not done yet. I feel like just such a hole in the ground. You're right. That's exactly where you're at. But it's not done yet. There's a beautiful structure going to be built on that. That's part of the process. Oh, I just feel so unfinished. I feel like I'm just so incomplete. You're right. Don't feel like a failure, but don't get comfortable with where you're at either. God is saying there's more. Keep pressing on. God isn't finished with you. And that's the best news this morning. Because the truth is, we're all messed up. We say it this way, and we say it a lot. And we say, hey, if you're looking for the perfect church, this is not it. Please let us know when you find it. But we have found a perfect God that loves us no matter what. And he's working on us. He's working on us. So if you're messed up, welcome home. You're just sitting among messed up people. But we're not going to judge ourselves. But we're not just going to sit here either. But we found a God that's saying, there's more to you than what you know. You're greater value than what you're counting yourself to be. I love you more than what you can imagine. And though I have redeemed you and I have saved you, don't just get comfortable with where you're at. There's more to you. You've got giftings. You've got talents. You've got abilities to make a difference in your world, to make a difference in your home, in your family. You can bring joy into a situation where there is no joy. You can bring peace into a situation where it is a mess. God working through you will allow you to make the difference. Don't get comfortable sitting in the lazy boy chair all the time. It's time to get up and let's finish the house. Let's finish the work that is done. It needs to be done. Paul goes on, he tells us, he says, look, this next verse, he tells us, he says, all of us then who are mature. So if you want to ignore this, you know what that means? You can read into that. It says, all of you that are mature, right, should take such a view of things. Now, if you want to be immature and throw a little fit, you know, that's fine. But understand where you're coming from. He says, look, you're grown up. You understand this. You're smart. God gave you a brain. Okay? He says, look, those of you who understand this, you see this. I mean, you see it in your work. You see it in your homes. You see it in those other principles. It's the same true in your life. He says, you should take such a view of such things. And if on some point you think differently, that God would make it clear to you. Because there's something in us that inherently wants to keep beating ourselves up. Privately. Publicly, we're our own best promotion agency. Publicly, we like talking about our highlight films. Well, let me show you this. Let me tell you this. Listen, this is wonderful. Look at what I did. Look at what I accomplished. And then privately, we're going, stupid, 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 stupid. Paul's speaking to us in the reality of who we are, and he says, look, you're not finished yet. Don't beat yourself over that, but don't get comfortable there either. That's the beauty of where we say there is no condemnation in Christ. that you come as you are. And the beauty is that God loves you where you are. You don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to work to get God's love. God says, I love you right where you are. I have everything for you right where you are. No matter how bad, no matter how good, no matter how horrible, no matter how perfect, you come in and God says, I love you where you are, but I don't want you to stay where you are. There's a better you inside of you. And when God allows himself to begin working through you, you begin to see how beautiful, how powerful, how incredibly potential filled you are when we come into the presence of God. That's the good news. That's the good news. We come in and we say, God, I'm a mess. And he says, yes, you are a mess. And I love you. It's like, but God, what about all this junk? I know there's a lot of junk, but I love you. But I don't want you to stay in the junk. I don't want you to stay messed up. I want you to grow. I want you to finish. Keep pressing on. Now, the beautiful thing is he didn't say, finish the job. A lot of us think we're like Superman. You know, we come from horrible and we got to, you know, leap tall buildings in a single bound. And we think that we've got to instantly become perfect. We got to fix it all right away. It took time for you to get to where you are. It took time. It's going to take time for you to get to where you get to. But you got to keep moving forward. Right? If you've ever gone to the gym or worked out, and some of you don't know this, but I do work out. I work outside of the home. exercise, you know, opening the refrigerator door, you know, lifting metal objects, forks and spoons, you know, I mean... But you know this. It's like you go to the gym and you work out and you go and look in the mirror, which is the most used piece of equipment in a gym, by the way. I wouldn't know personally, but people who have gone to gyms have told me. He's like, I don't see a change. Well, this gym doesn't work. How many of you have dieted for a day and got frustrated and said, this diet does not work? I didn't lose a pound. How many have ever dieted for a day and actually gained weight that day? Anybody? Yeah, that's me. Yeah. I tried that Atkins diet, and I didn't realize you were supposed to cut the carbs out. I just thought you were just supposed to increase the proteins and fat. I'm thinking, this is the diet for me. And I was like, I gained 3 pounds on this diet. What is going on? Okay. I had to get it right. But here's the deal. It takes time. You just keep working on it. Working on it. You can't take 2 steps at a time. Think about that for a second. You can't take 2 steps at a time. You can only take 1 step at a time. And pressing on does not mean taking and doing a giant leap. It just says, I'm going to go and allow God to work on the next step. What do I need to do next? Maybe it's a call. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe you're going to start something. You can say, well, okay, I'm going to pick up the Bible reading chart. I'm going to read through the New Testament before Easter. Okay, first step, I'm going to pick up the chart. Awesome. That's pressing on. Some of us, because we don't see the completeness, we give up and we stop. And in the same way, we don't measure success in the middle. Don't think that we jump from the middle to the end in 1 step. It's going to take some time, but just keep pressing on day by day, step by step, challenge by challenge. And God, you will begin to see what God has for you. He says, look, you should take view of this because only God, and if you don't know, let God make it clear to you. It says, only let us live up to what we have already attained. Now, this is an interesting verse because it seems like in conflict with what he said. He says, look, I want you to live up to what you've already attained. But Paul, I thought you said to forget what was behind. You just said forgetting what is behind and pressing on. But now you're telling me, let us live up to what we have already attained. You need to understand what he's talking about here. He says, what he's saying is this, is the past isn't a place to live, but it is a place to build on. Let's use the house analogy. So when you put up, and I'm not a builder, Jeff, you're a builder, but we put studs and they're supposed to be how far apart? But 16 inches apart. So you put, hopefully, I know this building, they were a little more creative when they put studs in. So you put the studs in the wall, right? And then you put the drywall on the wall. And then you put like some mud on the wall, drywall mud, and you put paint, right? Okay, so you have a nice painted wall. Well, when you get your painted wall, you don't remove the studs, do you? Right? Well, we got the nice outside wall. That's what we were shooting for. We don't see the studs anymore. Who needs those? Let's just get rid of the studs. We can have all kinds of extra lumber. We can take it back to Menards, get our money back. You wouldn't do that. In the same way, what Paul is saying here is this. When I say forgetting what is behind, he says, I'm building on that. I don't live there. I build on it, and I grow from there. He says this in Hebrews, and he goes in a little deeper here, Hebrews chapter 6. He says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and faith in God. Keep going. Instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. What he's saying is this. He says, look, as you grow, don't move past those principles that you learned early on. Don't move past those things that were part of your life. He's saying, look, don't go back and let sin in your life and then call it maturity. Where you say, hey, there was a thing in my life that, you know what, there was a time in my life where I said, okay, God, I'm stepping away from that. I'm changing that lifestyle. I'm changing those things. Don't call yourself grown up and say, well, now I can just go back and get rid of all of those things. We're building on those things. Those things are important. Even though they may not be first and foremost, we've gone on and we're growing. They are still the foundation by which we are being built. We don't get to a place where we don't think we need church anymore. There's never a place where we can stop praying anymore. Like, well, I prayed when I really needed God, but now everything's good in my life. I don't need to do that anymore. It's like, no, 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 you don't get it. You're building on the foundation. We need still to serve. We keep reading God's word. We live away. We talk away. We dress away. It's part of who we are. God has changed us, and we're still growing. We're not done. But it's the foundation that we're building on. We don't go backwards and call it maturity. He's saying, look, don't do these. Don't go back. There's people struggling with things that you didn't conquered years ago. But somehow you've allowed that back into your life. Somehow you've allowed those things to come back. And he's saying, look, wait a second. You don't go back on the things. Okay? This is what we do. We are moving forward. We are moving upwards, but it's based upon the foundation of who we are and what we are. And God is building, and God has a great work. God has great things for you. More than you can imagine. Can you imagine, just for a moment, could you just think outside of your own limitations what God could do with your potential? Some of you know you have giftings and abilities and nobody else does. Some of you know that you are so effective doing things. Maybe it's speaking or mentoring or encouraging. Some of you have the gift of just being able to see when there's problems and being able to identify people that are hurting and being able to talk and bring hope. Some of you have incredible teaching ability or writing ability. Some of you have incredible building abilities or artwork or whatever. Can you imagine what you could be having reached your full potential and the difference you could make? That is what God has for you. That is what God is leading you. Not just so that your world could become better, but that the world could become better. Because he said, look at what I can do through you. Look at the difference I can make through you. Look at the hope that I can bring through you. Don't get comfortable with where you're at. Don't go backwards. Build on what you have already learned and keep moving forward. Press on. Press on. You're going to go home today and you're going to look at a situation and everything in you is going to go, well, I'll work on it tomorrow. No, 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 no. Press on. I pray that this message just irritates you, okay? It's just like, oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Now I got to work on this. And now I got to deal with this. Now I got to do something about this. Yeah. Don't get comfortable with it. Press on. Press on. on with God's help, with God's guidance. A lot of times we don't know what to do, and that's why we pray, God, what do I need to say? What do I need to do? God, give me direction. God, show me the path I need to take. Press on. Turn to somebody, tell them, press on. Press on. We would look, what would that look like in your life? What could your family look like? What kind of relationships? What kind of potential is there? What could our church look like? What kind of difference could we make if we understood what God is calling us to become? I want to leave you with two powerful verses. First one's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, he says, don't doubt this, don't worry about this. I want you to be sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Do you know what that means? That God is going to be working on you until you see him. All right? That's when you're done. There's no age limit. There's no height limit. There's no weight limit. If you're still fogging a mirror, God is still not finished with you yet. But here's the promise. He's still going to finish the work. He wants to complete it. He made a good work in you before it was ever materialized. And if you will allow him to, you will reach what God has for you. But until you see him, you don't give up. There is still more. Whether you are 6 or 106, it's still more. God still has more for you. Being confident of this, be sure of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. And that gives me hope. Amen. And this is the verse we use when you're looking at yourself in the mirror and you feel like that hole in the ground. Oh, just such a failure. But wait a second. God's word spoke. I need to be confident of it. If God started it, then if I just keep following him, he's going to finish it. Step by step, day by day. I may not even see the work being done. I'm just going to keep trying, keep trying. I'll have good days. I'll have bad days. I'm going to keep trying, and God is faithful to complete the work. The last verse is in 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. You haven't seen your potential yet. You haven't seen how great God has made you yet. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Christ was perfect in every way. And when Christ appears, he finishes the work and says, perfect. Come on home. Come on home. Work is done. Good job, my faithful servant. And so until then, we just keep going, knowing this, there's more to me than what I see. When you go to work tomorrow and your boss is just ripping you up and down and you're like, oh, I should have known better. It's like, oh, wait a second, there's more to me than what he's seen. When you go home and it is World War III, IV, and V combined, you said there's more potential here than what I see right now. There's more love than what I see here now. When you go into that situation where it's just so stressful or just so pressure-filled, you say, wait a second, there's an answer that I haven't seen yet. And I know God is working, and I'm not going to give up hope. That God doesn't give up on me, I'm not going to give up on me. And so God, I'm holding on. God, I'm following you. God, what step do I need to take? What step do I need to take? What step do I need to take? God is coming back for people that are working on it. Not a people that have it all figured out or done. He's just saying, hey, have you been pressing on? Hey, have you been working on it? That's who I'm coming for. And so as we close today, I'm inviting you just to take that next step. Whatever that may be. And we're celebrating with Kevin, and we're celebrating with Brianna. They're taking a step of faith today. They're working on it. That's what it looks like. Awesome. Pressing on. Pressing on. But what about you? What does that look like in your life? What is God working on your heart? Maybe it's just at an altar where you're just saying, okay, God, I'm in. It's been a long time. I need forgiveness. Maybe you need to be baptized. Maybe God needs to fill you with his spirit. Maybe there's some changes you need to make. Maybe there's some people you need to forgive. Maybe there's some things that you've held on way too long and it's just beating you up and it's just tearing you up and God says, you know what? It's time for you to forgive. Or maybe it's time for you to go and ask for forgiveness. Saying, you know what, I know I was wrong, and I've just become comfortable with it, but you know what, I was wrong, would you forgive me? I'm pressing on. It's better than where it's at. There's more. Whatever it is, God has been speaking to your heart, encouraging us today. And that's the whole thing. Press on. Can we stand?